This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices, united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
As the great basketball philosopher Rasheed Wallace once said, ball don't lie. And as college basketball is trying to say, the season is here, we think, kind of, we're not really ready for it, but college basketball is here. It is Wednesday, November 25th. College basketball season tips off. I actually think as I'm recording this right before 11 a.m. that some games will actually tip off here in a couple of minutes. I'm sure you can find them across sports channels like the CBS Sports Network's channels, and I'm sure ESPN's going to have some coverage and things like that. But tonight at the Frank Irwin Center, the Texas Longhorns open their 2020-21 season against UTRGV at 7 p.m. That game will be on LHN. If you're not one of the 3,100 people, or I guess that's the max capacity for Texas home games right now, that'll be at the stadium. I will be at the stadium. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't a little bit anxious about being in a indoor place for a while, covering a college basketball game because of the coronavirus, but I will be there with my mask, ready to rock, ready to watch this basketball season hopefully get underway. As far as I know, no problems for Texas or UTRGV that we know of. And that the game is still on. But yeah, college basketball is here, and we're seeing across the country cancellations, schedules that are literally changing on the fly for some of these teams. Like, imagine preparing for your season opening game, and it's like, all right, we're not going to play this team, and then a few hours later you schedule somebody else. It's going to be a totally chaotic and unique season that we've never even really seen before. It's going to present a lot of very uncommon challenges, and it's going to require a lot of patience, I think, and it's going to require a lot of people that try to as best they can, keep these young guys safe, these student-athletes safe, and these traveling parties and these coaching staffs and these basketball programs and things like that. So hopefully things kind of calm down, the season can get underway, but I'd be lying if I said I think this thing will get off without any sort of big stoppages or things like that. But the Longhorns are going to be in action tonight. I just wanted to go through a quick season preview for you guys because, you know, as I'm recording this, the Longhorns play in about, let's do some math here, about 8 hours. So I know the turnaround rate, and once we get published and things like that, you're not going to have too much time to listen to this today. And to be honest, I've got a 7-month-old that just woke up from his nap that's home today. So there's been some challenges in the McComas house getting some work done today with the little man here and not in school for a change. So this one will be quick, but did want to get into a quick season preview for you Texas Longhorn fans out there that are tuning in, and thank you for listening to theyak.com and tuning in to our coverage at orangeboys.com. I just published my column on Wednesday, a season preview for the Texas season. We'll start with some things that I think I know. And, you know, make no mistake, Shaka Smart has said that the top six players in preseason practice heading to the season have been Matt Coleman, Courtney Ramey, Andrew Jones, Greg Brown, Jericho Sims, and Kai Jones. Smart doesn't know which five of those guys will start. He joked that he'd like to start all six and tell the opposing coach, start your best six as well. In practice lately, Texas has played those three guards together on a team, Coleman, Ramey, and Jones. I tend to think that's probably the route he'll go with because of just the, you know, the spacing element, the playmaking element on offense and things like that. But I'm not going to be surprised if at some point, Kai Jones, Jericho Sims, and Greg Brown are all on the floor together. Now, it does present some challenges offensively in terms of spacing and things like that, but this is a team that wants to be a lot more aggressive and wants to really attack the offensive glass and create some second-chance opportunities. And man, looking at that front court of Brown, Sims, and Jones, it's a lot of height, a lot of length, a lot of athleticism, a lot of rebounding potential. But those six guys are going to enter this season as the clear top six of the roster. I think I also know that the offense probably won't dramatically change, but there's going to be more movement away from the basketball. It's something that Smart brought up immediately when we talked to him the first time after last season ended, that he noticed on tape that college basketball defenses are tending to do a lot more ball watching now because so many of these offenses are ball screen offenses and things like that. Like, that's where the action comes from. So the opposing coaches at times are telling these defenses, hey, just watch the ball, play the ball. You know, you don't even have to really respect your man a ton. Just kind of play your area and watch the ball. And that's something that Texas didn't do well last year, was move away from the basketball consistently. So I think you're going to see that more. I think you're going to notice that on defense. I think you're going to notice, as the season goes on, some small things that can kind of aid spacing. That's something Neil Berry was brought years ago from Iowa State to help with. And Nevada Smith, who Texas hired as a director of program development, a former G League head coach, that's something he was known for in his seasons as a G League coach. I believe he coached 5 years as a head coach in the G League, in the Rockets organization, in the Miami Heat organizations, two organizations that are really good with spacing. And also, too, this kind of gets into another discussion later on about playing fast, but Nevada Smith's teams ranked in the top three of offensive pace four of the 5 seasons that he was a G League head coach. So that could help Texas play faster. Like I said earlier about the offensive rebounding, I think this is going to be a noticeably better offensive rebounding team. It's been a big emphasis. It's a way to add efficiency. And to be frank, like, look at the roster. There are some guys that can really go after the offensive glass. I mentioned those three big guys earlier. Also, a guy like Brock Cunningham, who's Smart labeled before last season as the team's best offensive rebounder. We know Royce Ham Jr. can go compete on the glass. Will Baker is a guy that 6'11" can get some offensive rebounds. And even some of those guys down the list, like a Gerald Liddell, who's, you know, got some size and length. Donovan Williams, super bouncy guy that can go compete on the glass as well. So I think this is going to be a noticeably better offensive rebounding team. And Texas is, again, going to have a top 25 defense. Shaka Smart is a defensive guy. Ever since he arrived at Texas, his first year, I believe, Texas finished 40th in adjusted defensive efficiency. Ever since then, their worst finish since has been 26th. So this is going to be a top 25 type of defense. And if you look at the personnel, why shouldn't it? Smart's track record is that he's always had a good defense. He's got some really good personnel this year in terms of length and size and quickness and things like that. Andrew Jones, a guy that's improved physically a lot with his flexibility and his athleticism and getting some of that explosiveness back, I think he's going to be more of an impact defender than he was last season. And I kind of like my big question for this team, and I guess for Shaka Smart in this program, really, we always hear heading to the preseason about, you know, he gets the question about Havoc, which kind of, he hasn't really gotten truly in the same sense this year, which I think he kind of likes. But he usually gets the Havoc question. And at this point, if you're in my position, you've covered this program for as long as I have from a beat perspective, you almost roll your eyes a little bit. It's like, come on, man, how many times are we going to ask about Havoc? Knowing that Havoc to Shaka Smart isn't just full court pressing. It's like a total team mindset to just go create Havoc. Go after everything with aggressiveness and flying around and things like that. And he's said in the past, we're not going to be able to play that way at Texas. It's different personnel. It's different players mentally. I'm recruiting different types of guys. I'm not getting these underdog type guys. I'm getting these guys that think they're going to go to the NBA right away. It's just a different place, which I kind of get. But at the same time, I've always been, well, you've also said that you want to play this way. This is the way you like to play. Why not just force these guys to play that way, or play the guys that are going to play that way? Which I think he's had some guys on his rosters in the past that would do it, that have shown that they would be willing to play that way and do it effectively. But anyway, I kind of have a hunch that this group might use full court pressure defense more than any Texas team under Shaka Smart. I've kind of heard whispers about that behind the scenes. Players have kind of hinted at it. Smart has not directly hinted at it, but he's kind of said some things that made my ears perk up a little bit. And this is a team that's talked consistently about wanting to play way faster on offense. And I think that this team could look, in terms of a couple key areas, full court defense and offensive possession length, I think that it could resemble some of Smart's last VCU teams way more than any other Texas team has. If you go back and look at it, it's Smart's final 3 seasons at VCU, that his offenses ranked in terms of average offensive possession length. So the quickest in terms of, like, your possession lengths are fast, you know, number one in the country would be the fastest offensive possession length. Number 353 would be dead last, the slowest. His final 3 years at VCU ranked 62nd, 25th, and 38th. At Texas, He hasn't had many teams that rank anywhere close to that. Ironically, the team that was the closest was his worst team, his second year at Texas. They just played a little bit faster than all his other teams. They've consistently ranked way, way, way behind that. And this is a group that wants to play fast. It's been an emphasis point all preseason, all offseason. I know they've worked on things as simple as getting the ball out of the net and out after the opposing team makes, passing the ball up the floor instead of dribbling. And if you look at this personnel, I don't know if there's a team in the country better equipped to play fast than Texas when you consider its experience at the guard position. And you look at its big guys. I mean, Greg Brown is it's like somebody put him in the lab and said, let's make a guy that can play in transition. That's Greg Brown. And Jericho Sims is probably a close second to that in terms of the way he can run as a big guy. And Kai Jones can really run the floor. And, you know, Royce Hamm can get up and down the floor well for a big guy. You know, looking beyond guys like Gerald Liddell. I think Gerald Liddell's at his best when he's in transition. Donovan Williams can really fly and get up and down the floor and kind of play at that chaotic place and just play with that aggressiveness. They are equipped to play fast. And that's how they want to play. Now, it's funny, heading into every season, there's somebody on Twitter that cuts up coaching clips of coaches saying that they're going to play faster heading into the season. It's like everybody in the country wants to play faster. You know, it's always a thing that coaches mention. But I my hunch is that this team is actually going to do it. I think that they're actually going to play at a much quicker tempo. And I think a way to influence your offensive tempo is your defensive tempo, is extending the floor, is trying to get after people and just building that mindset of just that attacking aggressiveness. And how much have we heard Texas players and Shaka Smart this preseason talk about aggressiveness and violence? Those two buzzwords have been mentioned over and over and over again. And I think a way to do that is to extend the floor more. If you want to try to play faster and get up and down, try to invite that style of game by throwing it at your opponents and try to encourage them to kind of play at that chaotic pace and throw a bunch of shots up and kind of create those sorts of transition opportunities. So we'll see. But, you know, there's kind of some interesting signs that, you know, this might actually happen for a change, as opposed to this Texas offense that normally has just kind of been too much of a half court, you know, late clock kind of offense, which has frustrated Texas fans in the past. And another thing too, I mentioned earlier that this is Shaka Smart hasn't hid behind that. This is the way he would want to play. That's his ideal style. He just hasn't ever felt like he could do it for whatever reason at Texas. But this to me is an interesting coaching staff from that regard, because he doesn't have a defensive coordinator like he had last year in Luke Jokličić. I mean, Shaka has always been a hands-on guy when it comes to his defense. He is a defensive-minded head coach. But Jokličić was the defensive coordinator last year. And I think it was very much a let's get back, play half-court defense type of thing. And Texas was a good defense. In previous coaching staffs, too, he had a, you know, former head coach on his staff in Darren Horn. And you know, sometimes I feel like Shaka Smart maybe too often deferred to, okay, you know, you can't really play that way at Texas, or this is the way we can have success, is playing this half-court kind of style. And look, Texas has often been really, really good defensively, especially in the half-court. But you look at this coaching staff now. You know, he replaced Jay Lucas by elevating Cody Hatt, who is a longtime director of basketball operations at Texas, a guy that's known Shaka for a while. And then he replaced Jokličić with KT Turner, a guy that has a lot of assistant coaching experience as a longtime associate head coach at SMU, but not a guy that's arriving with, you know, that head coaching background at some top programs, where I just don't think that there's going to be that voice on this coaching staff that might try to discourage Shaka a little bit if he's like, hey, we're going all in on this type of thing, which I think has maybe happened a little bit in the past. It's like, hey, look, we can be this great half-court defense type of team. We can have a lot of success that way. I think this is, you know, this is Shaka's dream roster. And I also think it's his opportunity to really totally influence how his team is going to play. Now, he's done that in the past. All head coaches do. But I think this is very much a collaborative coaching staff, whereas I think in previous years it might have been a little bit more defined in terms of, okay, you know, these are my offensive guys, these are my defensive guys. We all work together on the scout and you know, input on game planning and in-game stuff and all that sort of thing. But I think this coaching staff, you know, Shaka wanted, you know, a guy like KT Turner from, you know, a skill development type thing, getting the most out of his guys. You know, Cody Hatt's a guy that's been around his players for a long time, knows what makes those guys tick. Neil Berry's been in the program for a few years. He brings in a guy like Nevada Smith, who's got G League head coaching experience and is kind of has a track record of a guy on offense with spacing and playing quick and things like that. I think this coaching staff kind of sets up Shaka Smart in a way to have one of those teams that kind of more closely resembles what his final teams at VCU looked like. And again, if you just look at the personnel, this personnel is crying out to play fast, to get up and down. And if you want to be super aggressive and if you want to play with violence and things like that, a way to do that is extend the floor. It's not to consistently, all right, we're going to get back in transition defense and set up in the half court. No, you want to get after people. You want to get some deflections. I mean, the most important statistic in the world to Shaka Smart is deflections. 32 deflections is their mark. Since he's been a head coach in college basketball, his team has only lost once when they hit that 32 deflection mark. And ironically, it was the game at Georgia a couple years ago where they really didn't play well at all defensively. They just happened to have very active hands and got a bunch of deflections. That's the only time his team has lost the game when they hit that deflection mark. And you'd think, hey, let's get this thing up and down. Let's create more deflection opportunities, more chaotic chances, and really allowed our athletes to just go in these veteran guards that you can have confidence in the open floor. I just think there's a lot of kind of layers to this that kind of set up that we could see Texas finally play at a quicker pace on both ends of the floor. And I think they would truly benefit from it. But as I say that, this is a program that's also talked before about wanting to play faster, and it hasn't really come to fruition. So, you know, until I see it, I'm going to be at least a little bit skeptical. Some questions I have for the Longhorns. I'm confident they're going to be a better offensive rebounding team. I don't know about them on the defensive glass. It's never really been a strength of a Shaka Smart team. And part of that in the past was kind of the style they played. You know, you create up and down, really chaotic game, maybe some longer shots, which, you know, can sometimes create more offensive rebounding opportunities and so on. But they were 330th nationally in defensive rebounding percentage last year. 330th. And this was with Luke Yaklich, who is a guy that one of his biggest things was limiting the opposing teams to 25% or less offensive rebounds. And Texas just was awful on the defensive glass. They're not going to be that bad this year, but it's never really been a big strength for a Shaka Smart team in terms of statistics. So I wonder how good of a defensive rebounding team they're going to be. They have the personnel to be a good defensive rebounding team, but if they play those three guards a lot together, those three guards are going to have to go hit the glass and not try to leak out and not be, you know, trying to get too much into the open floor and make things happen that way. Beyond those top six players I mentioned earlier, I wonder what the rotation really, but those role guys, I wonder what those minutes look like. Based on public comments from Shaka, Andrew Jones and Matt Coleman, and also some things behind the scenes, the guy that's always first mentioned is Brock Cunningham. So I think that he is going to be one of those role guys. And look, the way he played down the stretch last season, I think he's got to be in the mix somehow. He just can complement any sort of personnel that's on the floor because he loves doing all the little things. And he started to actually shoot the ball a little bit at the end of last season, which I think can be a part of his game, is that a guy you have to at least somewhat respect when he's open around the perimeter. So, but, you know, what about a Roy Sam Jr.? Or what about a guy like a Gerald Liddell, who at this point last year, I mean, Texas couldn't contain their excitement about Gerald Liddell. I mean, he was arguably the best player on the floor when Texas had that impressive win at Purdue. And, you know, it just kind of went down from there. So how does he factor into the mix? What about Donovan Williams? I mean, they're going to have another perimeter-oriented guy step up. You know, is that going to be Donovan Williams? I mean, when you hear the words aggressive and violence and the way playing that way, I mean, that's kind of Donovan Williams. I mean, the guy never once lacked confidence last year. I mean, he was ready to let it fly, fly around the floor, those sorts of things. Is he going to be that guy? And you know, kind of looking at the front court, how does a Will Baker fit into that equation? You know, I thought it was really interesting when Shaka Smart spoke about, he was asked directly about Baker and his development. He just praised his development both on and off the court. He said he's made, you know, noticeable progress during preseason practice. But he also said, you know, we, in terms of the people watching the game, might not always see that as a way to say, hey, there are going to be times he might not play or he might not play a lot. Like, I can have guys that have developed and things like that, but it's hard. They're not going to play 12 guys, you know, and 13 if Jace Frebris gets cleared at some point this season. He's not yet cleared for full contact practice. They're not going to play that many guys. So they could have guys that are talented guys that have taken some strides and things like that. But, I mean, beyond those top six guys, I think the minutes are going to be hard to find. I mean, you're probably going to see some games where Shaka Smart plays eight guys. You know, maybe in some instances nine, you know, depending on foul trouble and things like that. But, yeah, it's just you kind of look at those the roles and the minutes beyond those top six guys. And I think Cunningham is going to be one of those role guys just on the way people have talked and the way he played last year. But beyond there, it's pretty tough to predict. There was only one statistical area last year where the Longhorns were worse than they were in defensive rebounding percentage. They were 330th in defensive rebounding percentage. They were 350th out of 353 teams in free throw rate. Think about that. And think about the players that Texas has. To rank that poorly is hideous. That's awful. That's really, really, really bad. There's no excuse for Texas not getting to the free throw line more. And I know a guy like Andrew Jones, look, he was candid about, hey, I knew I had to play last year in a way that I had to be a spot-up guy, one dribble pull-up kind of guy. That was my game because I just simply didn't have that physicality and that explosiveness in the paint to get to the free throw line and things like that. He's going to get to the free throw line way more this year than he did last year. But Courtney Ramey, you know, that's a guy that's a playmaker. He's got to get to the line more. He's got to shoot a better two-point field goal percentage. He's a 43% shooter on two-point field goal shots in his career. That's got to go up. Matt Coleman's got to get to the free throw line more. There's got to be better offensive opportunities when the ball gets into the paint and guys just get fouled because the defense just is forced to foul guys. You know, like Jericho Sims or Greg Brown or Akai Jones or guys like that, you know. Competing on the offensive glass should lead to more of those opportunities. But man, Texas has got to improve its free throw rate. And, you know, sometimes when you give guards so much freedom in your half-court offense, they can sometimes dictate your free throw rate if they're just not of that of totally aggressive mindset or if the opposing defense is just playing, you know, defense in a way that doesn't really create many of those opportunities to get to the paint and get to the free throw line. But, Dave, that's a big question I have for Texas is are they going to be able to get to the line way more than they did last season? Because that would really dramatically help their offensive efficiency. Perhaps the biggest question, too, is, you know, what kind of pulse does Shaka Smart have on this team? You know, early last season, it was a roster or a team, to me, that was begging for more physicality and rebounding. I mean, look at in the non-conference, they played two teams known for physicality. Providence and Georgetown, and both those two teams kicked the crap out of Texas. And meanwhile, guys like Brock Cunningham couldn't get on the floor, and that's who he is. I mean, even if it would just be three or four fouls, he would just at least mix it up and compete with that sort of physicality. And then offensively, too, it was a team that was crying out for more free-throw opportunities, for more efficiency, for more movement, just ways to be a more efficient, consistent offense. And it never really happened. You know, the physicality and the rebounding was addressed later in the season when, you know, injuries just forced certain lineups onto the floor. And also, too, you can't convince me, this is something I've talked about in the past, both on this podcast and in writing, you can't convince me that after the Iowa State blowout, Shaka Smart wasn't a different guy in terms of the way he interacted with his team during the games. Visibly, it looked different. He went from a guy, he's always been super energetic, you know, gets into a defensive stance. He's always clapping. He's always talking. He's always yelling and encouraging. He's pacing around and practically sprinting in his little coach's box. But after that Iowa State blowout last year, he started breathing some fire. There was just a different edge in demeanor and like kind of a mean association with the way Shaka Smart was coaching. He was like, he was like coaching mean, and not like he was yelling at his players or degrading them or something. It's not like a Bobby Knight type of thing, but there was just some fire accompanying him on those sidelines. He was just a different guy, and I think his team responded to that. I think he really, really challenged him to be tougher, to play harder, to play physical and things like that, and they responded. That can't happen again this year. You can't get that deep into the season when the season's basically fallen apart to where you finally respond. And look, their response was great, but they've got to win now. And I think sometimes, you know, coaches really, really want to cultivate this culture that produces player leadership. And player leadership is great. I think it's probably one of the most important things in any sport at the collegiate level. But the issue sometimes with player leadership is that it moves at its own pace. And that can kind of, you know, it's not really a straight line. It can kind of go up and down, you know, for certain games and things like that. Unless you're blessed to have some of those great, fantastic leaders. And look, Texas might have some of those guys this year. I mean, Matt Coleman's a senior. Andrew Jones has been around for a long time. Courtney Ramey's been around for a long time. Maybe they'll have that. But I think sometimes the player leadership element, because it moves at its own pace, you just can't afford not to have that voice to us, like, look, we're going to play this way and you're going to play this way or you're not going to play. You know, this is how we're going to win basketball games. And this is a team that's got to win now. It's a dream roster for Shaka Smart, and it's got to win now. So that's a big question I have is, you know, what kind of pulse does Shaka Smart have for this team? To me, it's interesting because I can't recall in the past, and maybe I'm wrong, but I can't recall in the past him heading into a season where he's named the top six guys multiple times. That's like, bam, 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 bam. These are the dudes. These are the guys that have stood out. These are my top six. We'll see what happens with those guys beyond there. But look, I'm going to play these guys a lot. And I don't know if that's happened in previous seasons. I mean, I think we've known heading into previous season a few guys that are going to play a lot. But for him to just basically say, hey, bam, 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 these guys are – five of these six guys are going to start, and the sixth guy is going to play a lot, and we'll see what happens with those other roles. And it's like, okay, you know, you've clearly identified who are going to be your main group of guys, and I don't think that's been the case in the past. To wrap this thing up real quick with just, I'm going to run through my season predictions. I'm not going to spend too much time on them because I'll probably talk more about them in the future and write about them more at orangebloods.com. I participated in the Athletics unofficial Big 12 media poll and their preseason honors list. How I predicted the Big 12, Baylor, West Virginia, Kansas, Texas, Texas Tech, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Kansas State, Iowa State, and TCU. I think you could rank Texas as high as third, probably as low as fifth. The truth about that top five is I don't think it's going to be separated by much at all. And Kansas, to me, I'm going to give Bill Self the benefit of the doubt, because why wouldn't I give Bill Self the benefit of the doubt when it comes to coaching in the Big 12? But that roster to me is interesting because he doesn't have one of those proven lead playmaking guards that he's had. I mean, he's an awesome coach, but it helps your offense when it's guys like Devontae Graham, Devon Dotson, and Frank Mason are spending multiple years in your program. And if things break down, those guys can just say, hey, you know, take the ball and go make a play. That's oftentimes how, you know, Kansas has won some of those tight games in the Big 12, is they just had a better playmaking guard than other teams. And Marcus Garrett's fantastic, but that's not Marcus Garrett's game. You know, he's not one of those guys that's just you hand the ball to and say, all right, go make a play for the final 5 minutes of the game. So I'd be fascinated to see what this Kansas team looks like. Bob Huggins has called this his most talented West Virginia team, which says a lot. I'm a little skeptical about their guard play. But I think they could be really, really good. And Baylor, the guard play they return, they're always going to have physicality in the front court and rebounding. They know who they are. Scott Drew's done a really, really good job the last couple of years developing that culture of what they are when they're on the floor. And they've got some really good playmaking guards. Texas Tech, I published that Big 12 prediction list before the Mac McClung waiver. It doesn't really change a ton for me, although it certainly, you know, gives them some more added firepower at the guard spot. But yeah, again, I think you can rank them as, you know, probably as high as three and as low as five. But there's clearly a top five in the league. But Oklahoma's no slouch. Oklahoma brings a lot back from a top 40-ish type of team last year. They're going to compete again to be an NCAA tournament team. Oklahoma State has Cade Cunningham. I mean, if you watch Cade Cunningham, like, trust me, he's worth the price of admission. I've never scouted at the high school level a better mix of competitiveness, toughness, feel for the game, size, and physicality at that lead guard spot. I mean, he really checks the boxes. He's a really, really exciting player, and Oklahoma State's going to be fun to watch. And then I think beyond that top seven, there's a clear drop-off before you get to Kansas State, Iowa State, and TCU. Kansas State was a bit of a sleeper team for me just because I had to pick one, and just because, you know, at points in time last year during games, it looked like their entire team wanted to fight each other and the coach, and a lot of those guys have moved on. So I think Bruce Weber's team is at least going to defend and be pesky for Big 12 opponents. My preseason player of the year was Jared Butler at Baylor. Preseason All-Big 12 team, Matt Coleman, Jared Butler, Marcus Garrett, Cade Cunningham, and Oscar Tshiebwe. Best newcomer, we couldn't pick Cade Cunningham, so I picked Greg Brown a third, which, I mean, I think he's going to be awesome. Breakout star was Andrew Jones. Andrew Jones is people are sleeping on Andrew Jones. It's almost like they don't realize he had a pretty damn good year considering how he was playing and what he was coming back from. I think he's going to be a breakout star in the league. And then my final four pick, Gonzaga, Wisconsin, Virginia, and Villanova. But who the hell knows what this season looks like with what the coronavirus is already doing. In my season prediction for the Longhorns, obviously I have them finishing fourth in the Big 12, which could end up meaning like a number three seed in the NCAA tournament with how strong the league is at the top. I've got the Longhorns reaching the Sweet 16. I think if you just looked at this season individually in this roster and ignored everything that's happened before, you'd say this might be a Final Four type of roster. The problem is you can't ignore what's happened before at Texas. Shaka Smart has not won an NCAA tournament game yet at Texas. It's not a guarantee he would have made the NCAA tournament last season. It's really tough to even with this roster, go way out on a limb and say, hey, they're going to reach the second weekend of the NCAA tournament. But I just think that this is a dream roster for Shaka Smart and for any college coach. I mean, Texas is the only team in the country that returns all of its minutes. And it added Greg Brown to that. You know, think about that. Like, that is a dream scenario for a head coach. And experience wins in college basketball. If you're not going to do it the Kentucky way or lately the Duke way, with a bunch of one-and-dones, experience is what wins in college basketball. And Texas has experience all over the place. It's got a great experienced guard trio. It's got a very experienced big guy in Jericho Sims. It's got a potential lottery pick in Greg Brown. It's got experience coming off the bench. It's like, you know, Matt Coleman is saying about the team's kind of motivation head to the season. It's like, why not? Why can't this Texas team be one of the best Texas teams to ever walk on campus? You know, and he's right. The problem is we can't ignore what's happened the previous seasons at Texas. So I think Texas fans should be cautiously optimistic about this season. I've got them in the Sweet 16. But I admit, I mean, even with this roster, that's going out on a limb a little bit because we just haven't seen that at Texas yet. I think Shaka Smart maximized his roster that first year in Austin. I don't think he's done it since. And if he maximizes this roster, it could finish in the top two in the Big 12 and could play a long way in the NCAA tournament. But it's just hard to expect that when we just haven't seen it yet. But we'll find out this season. You know, it's interesting. I had somebody that's known Smart for a long, long time just praise the job he's done this offseason, you know, just keeping guys in a good place mentally, just helping them encounter and get through all these challenges that the world's presented right now, whether it's, you know, mental health or coronavirus or working on your game or just adjusting to everything as a young person. He's done a fantastic job in that regard. So if that pays off on the court, it could be a really, really good team. But yeah, let's wrap that up. That's our season preview here on the Droppin' Dimes podcast on theyak.com. I'm Dustin McComas of OrangeBloods.com. Thank you for listening. Again, Texas versus UTRGV tonight, 7 p.m. at the Irwin Center. It's on LHN. Get to OrangeBloods.com to read our season preview. Get to theyak.com and check out all of our great podcasts. Big football game this week. Huge, huge swing game for the Tom Herman future when Iowa State comes to town. A pivotal game in the Big 12 race and one that could define what Texas football looks like in the future. And we got some podcasts about that. But until I talk to y'all next time, take care, stay safe, have a great Thanksgiving. Do not under any circumstance pick pumpkin pie over pecan pie. That is crazy. And take care.